powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by Lori Holt, owner of Charisma and host of the Careering Podcast. Lori, welcome back to Fixed Ops 5.
Hey, Corey. I'm so happy to be back on with you today.
Now, last time we got together and had a podcast together, we talked about marketing to your dealership. How do we do that and all that stuff? And it was a great episode. But today I want to take it one step further and really talk about retention. It's a really hot topic for our dealers. And I know you're very passionate about retention, but just remind our audience who you are and what you do.
Sure. So thank you so much. My name is Lori Halter. I own Charisma Communications, which is a boutique PR and marketing agency in the automotive technology space. I've been in automotive more than 20 years now, which very much dates me. I find that most of my clients are now younger than I am. But as a result, we have been able to really know kind of the trends, the people, the players, and all of the news stories that are important in automotive. And also host of the Careering Podcast, which is a female leadership style show where we really discuss with females in careers how they make it work, balancing families and careers. So retention for me is even going one step further than retention, just keeping people passionate and joyful about their jobs is a really important element to me. And I just love seeing all the renewed attention that it's getting in the automotive space. I feel like it's a major trend for 2023.
I think you're absolutely right. And I want to really pick your brain on this because we have a lot of dealers, whether it's dealer principals, leadership, listening to this from automotive, RV, and power sports. So,
oh, nice.
If you really look at it from a broad perspective, the manufacturer for auto is putting a huge pressure point on retention of the customer.
Yes. You know,
and really that means that RV and power sports are really going to follow suit with that, right? And they're a little bit behind and they always have been, right? That market always has been, but they're starting to catch up and really understand that they have to be really mirrored to what the dealership is doing, because the customer that brings their car there is also the same customer brings their RV in or their four-wheeler in, whatever, right? So
absolutely.
Let's talk about the retention from, well, let's start with the employee, from the employee's point of view, keeping them inspired. How do you do that?
Yeah. So I think, you know, you and I were talking a little bit before the show and I was saying, I think there's a major disconnect. I've spoken with folks in the dealership, in the fixed ops departments. I've spoken on panels. I've looked at kind of statistics from Quantum 5, which is one of my clients. They had some information about retention. And really what it comes down to is there's a disconnect between what management thinks is going to retain their employees and keep them happy and what the actual employees themselves think. So what we're finding is, like, while retention numbers maybe for the fixed ops director, they're saying, but we have barbecues every month in our parking lot and we say thank you and we have awards. When you really get down to brass tacks and talk to the service advisors, which I had the opportunity to do last year, they're saying what we really want is career paths, training opportunities, and development. They want to be, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm getting ready to go to NADA. I don't know of one service technician who is having the opportunity to go to the National Automobile Dealers Association conference. I know very few service advisors or service managers who are able to go. So what they're really asking for is the ability to grow and learn within their career path.
Yeah, and I think that's hard from the dealership's point of view, whether it's, again, RV, power sports, or automotive, because if you send that person somewhere, it's a cost involved, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but when you think about it, you know, Jeff Daniel is from Maple Hill and he is like a leader in service. He's the service manager over there, fixed ops manager. And he likes to say, why would we not create a career path though for these folks? And why would we not give them educational opportunities? Yes, it's a cost, but think of how much it costs to like turn over these techs every you know, 1 to 3 years. I think I read a stat the other day that the majority of techs stay with the company less than a year.
Wow.
Think of how much it must cost to just like continually find techs and service advisors and service managers against the cost of sending them to a conference and sitting down and saying on a monthly basis, are you on track for where you want to be with our organization?
Yeah. And I think you could even hold like a contest between all the employees that the top three people get to go to this conference. I think that would be a great driving factor to really say, okay, well, these three are deserving. They won, right? And we're going to, it's all expense paid, you know?
Yeah.
I like that idea. I think that would be something that would encourage those employees and keep them engaged, because we want to make sure that we're holding on to that technician or that service advisor or that service manager and make them part of the fabric of the organization.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, here's another example. Like I have another client who's doing a VIP event at the show, and they asked me to personally reach out to a lot of the fixed ops directors I know to invite them as an appreciation dinner. I think 2 of the 10 folks I reached out to are going. So even just the opportunity to show, like I'm saying, your team, you're important to us. We're going to develop and help train you and help you create new ideas that you can bring back to the dealership. And by the way, there may be some awesome steak dinners you can go to while you're there.
Everybody likes a steak dinner, right?
I mean, who doesn't want a seafood tower and a steak dinner?
Right. Right. So all the dealers out there that are listening, think of ideas where you can invest into your employees outside of the dealership. Take that initial hit of they're not going to be in the dealership for 2 or 3 days, but you're making them feel good and making them feel important. Yes. To broaden their horizon, learn something outside of the dealership, and challenge them to come back saying, what did you take away from that 3 days, right? What were your big takeaways?
Absolutely. I was going to say that next. So one of the things I've seen a company do that has done this, and I think it's brilliant, is when those folks come back, they prepare a PowerPoint presentation of the important points that they have learned from the show. And then they share that with the rest of the techs and the rest of the service department. So if you're looking for kind of ROI for that money spent, you now have employees that are coming back and training and teaching the rest of the folks who may not have been able to go on what they've heard and what some of the new trends and lessons they've learned.
Boy, I really like that. And what a good recruiting tool when you are talking to a new tech, a new service manager, a new service advisor, is that we are going to invest in not only training and support, but we're going to send you to conferences on learning the latest technology or trends in automotive or trends in RV and power sports, right? There's conferences all over this great country that talks about really cool things that we only get to see 5% of it, right? Why not open that up to being able to see 30, 40, 50% of it and bring back some of that to your dealership that makes you a trendsetter?
Yeah. And I love this idea of like educating then the rest of your team. So it's not, you're not just spending money to have them go, you know, bring back a bunch of tchotchkes and go to dinner, but they actually are going to the sessions, attending the sessions, and they, you know, they have a very specific kind of model they need to bring back. And it's like, what are the 5 top things you've learned and what can you tell the rest of our team about it? And I think the other important thing to note is what we're talking about as well doesn't have to be a cost outlay. It doesn't have to be sending them to a conference. The number one top thing asked for by these service teams was for their manager to sit down with them on a monthly basis and help them determine a career path for their position. That costs nothing. That literally just costs the management time and planning and strategy with each one of those employees. So that's something that doesn't cost any revenue outlay. It's truly just trying to determine where your employees want to go and how to help get them there.
And that's different from years past, wouldn't you say, that, you know, most employees just wanted to, you know, back in the day, just punch a clock, do the best they can, provide for their family and go home. And if they got promoted, great. If they didn't, it was no big deal. But now it's almost a given that this new younger generation of employees they want a say in work-life balance. They want to be, yeah. you know, have a line or path, if you will, to getting promoted, to doing something that's meaningful and no longer is, you know, a requirement for them to, you know, have more vacation time or more pay. It's almost a fulfillment that they're being recognized on a monthly basis.
Absolutely. Like I did a panel recently and Ed Roberts of Bozard was on, as was Eric Barbosa of Henson. They had both just started a 4-day work week program. So 4-10s. And they, you know, they were very honest about it. They're like, look, there are definitely some challenges to work around with this. We, you know, typically in automotive, we're a bell-to-bell schedule. But the amount of retention they're seeing, the amount of employees who are happy and have told them and sent them notes and emails and said in person, this is really changing the way my work-life balance is working. They've used it as a recruiting tool for other techs. They've literally been able to bring in other techs and service advisors because of that 4-day work week. And so they both at the end of the panel said they're going to continue. It's working. It's working well for their teams. It actually hasn't created the amount of disruption they thought it would. And they're actually now recruiting people in with that type of flexible schedule.
Oh, I love that. So that's another, before we leave this employee retention topic, you know, you do a ton of writing. Obviously you're on the pulse of the industry. What other panels have you sat on where, you know, they came up with these types of ideas, some other ideas for retention?
Yeah. I'll tell you the one, number one, and I know I keep going back to Jeff Daniel, but he's just amazing. If you don't know Jeff, look him up on LinkedIn. He's very active on their Maple Hill Automotive. He has a phenomenal training program where I think one of his techs just celebrated, I think he told me 15 years. Wow. And he has this amazing tech training program where the senior techs will take the newer techs. They will train them side by side for, and I don't quote me, I can't remember how, I want to say a year, and it tapers wow. off throughout the year, but it's this side by side mentorship program with the older techs working side by side the younger techs and helping teach them in the ways of technicians. And we had technicians on this panel everywhere from the 15 years to, I think the youngest technician had been there 6 months, and they all said that they're not going anywhere because the amount of training and mentorship that Jeff is providing his team was just so above and beyond what they could get anywhere else. So these are some ideas that really don't cost a lot of money or upset the balance too much. Just take your higher end techs, take your more senior techs, and create a mentorship program with the younger techs. You know, but they create this enormous ROI for employees. And listen, the employees love barbecues. They love barbecues. Like someone told me her son was a huge fan of one of the local sports teams. And so the manager bought her and her son, you know, box tickets. Like those are always going to be wanted, right, by the employees.
Right.
But I think what I'm saying is like dig deeper and talk to your teams about what they're actually wanting for their career path, and then see if you have some creative ways to provide that.
Is it okay to survey your employees and try to get their wants and needs? Because I'm not a mind reader. I can barely read my own mind, right? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always a good idea. I think the key there is you have to be willing to implement some of the ideas. You can't just survey and then say, well, these all seem like too much trouble. We're not going to do it. Or, you know, well, we can't send you guys to conferences. So we're just going to say no to the whole thing. But, you know, I think maybe the very first step for some of your listeners is have a personal one-on-one with each member on your team, where you ask them, what are some things that we could do to help you feel like your job here, that you're valued and your job here is secure? And I think a lot of managers will be surprised. It's not necessarily what they think.
Right. Okay. I love that. So, you know, in the automotive space and cars and stuff like that, I'm going to use this terminology. Let's switch gears to...
Nice pun.
You like that? Let's switch gears here to talking about retaining that customer, because manufacturers are putting a big push on this. There's a lot of money behind this from the manufacturer, which means there's a lot of money to the dealer, right? So what is one thing that the dealer can do to hold on to that customer longer throughout that whole cycle?
Yeah. And this is interesting coming off of the last 2 years we've had, because a lot of these dealers have not had to work really hard to have the customers coming in with inventory, the inventory shortage. It's been like great times, right? And customers, if they had the inventory that customer wanted, they didn't have to do a lot to retain them. But that is definitely changing. Inventory is flowing onto the lots again. And so what I've heard the most of when talking with tech providers and other dealership managers is full transparency. And I know, I feel like I say this like year after year. I feel like this is just such a generic concept, but the idea of meeting the customer where they're at.
Yeah.
I know it's a simplified concept, but it truly, this is the trend from a retention standpoint that I'm hearing again and again and again. You know, and what does that look like? So meeting the customer where they're at today looks like, I was just talking the other day to Aaron Williamson, who's the head of marketing for H. Gregg. They have 36 plus stores. They started in Canada. They moved down into Miami and California. And she said, meeting the customer where they're at is, if they want to only do the paperwork online, we do the paperwork online and we do everything else in store. If they want to take it all the way digitally through to where they come in and test drive, and that's the only thing they do in the store, we take it there. You know, they've gone to people's houses, to people's driveways to look at used vehicles and help evaluate their used vehicle to then bring it in house. So for her, really meeting people where they're at is truly, you know, having the digital processes in place to where those people can actually do as much as they possibly can and want to, up to the point where they need to come into the store. Or, you know, she goes as far as having their people go out, like I said, to their house to evaluate their vehicle. And so when I say meet the customers where they're at, I'm not just saying figure out where they are in the sales funnel and have something that connects with them there. I'm truly saying, What do they want to do? How do they want that program customed, you know, programmed and custom to them individually? And how can you make your processes and your technology and your dealership work to answer that need?
Yeah, I really love that. And of course, you and I are both big fans of Ed Roberts, right?
Yes.
So in the service side of it, he is meeting where they're at. He's, you know, he's got a fleet of vehicles that go to people's homes. He even has those same fleet of vehicles go to other dealerships to do recalls.
Yes.
I mean, how cool is that? Did you ever think we'd ever get to that space where I got to go into the dealership and, you know, go through the drive and do a walk around and sit there for an hour, hour and a half, right? Now I can sit in my PJs at home and just relax and watch
TV and I'm
done. I'm good. Right.
Well, let me tell you, Ed is such a pioneer, and he is on it, because there's also talk. This is happening now. Amazon in certain test markets. Have you heard of this? Amazon's mobile service?
No.
So in test markets, Amazon is going out, and you can schedule it through Amazon. They come. It's an oil change or something. Right now, it's something minor. Let's say an oil change. They come to your house. They come up in the van, they have all the tools, they change your oil, they knock on your door when they're finished, you've paid through Amazon, there's no even money that needs to be. And someone at a conference I was at actually tried it. It was a service manager, and he had the foresight to try it and see how it was, to try and poke holes in it. And he said, you guys, I gotta be honest, it was the easiest and most convenient thing I've ever done. They were in and out in 45 minutes. I stayed in my house, I paid through Amazon Prime, and they were finished. They cleaned up after themselves. So this is the stuff that we're competing against now in the automotive industry.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, people really need to start thinking about progressive ways to not only compete with the dealership down the street anymore. You're now competing with Amazon and Apple, guys.
Amazon's going to rule the world.
I'm telling you, if there's something Amazon can get into, they are already in it. You know what I mean?
Well, while we were talking, Amazon delivered a package. They opened up my garage door and they left it in there. Right.
So, I mean, perfect timing,
right? It's, it's, It's truly amazing that they're doing that. Now, I'm a little odd. I love going to the dealership. I love bringing my wife's vehicle to the dealership or my vehicle and seeing how everyone interacts with the customer, being at the dealership, walking around and all that stuff. I know not every customer is like that, right?
Right.
So even though you have to meet the employee where they're at, right, where they are and they're learning what their goals are and all that stuff, the customer is pretty similar to that, right? You got to meet the customer where they're at. Now, it doesn't mean that every Gen Z is going to be you're going to talk to them the same way to each and every one of them. They might be something similar, different, but they're going to tell you how they want this, right? Just in the sales cycle, they're going to tell you, hey, I want to do the paperwork online, or I want you to come to my house and, you know, see what a fair market trade is on my car, right? Or I want you to, you know, I'm home all day. I want you to do an oil change to my vehicle. And anything more than that, I will set up an appointment and come to the dealership. Obviously, you can't do everything in someone's driveway.
Right, exactly right. But I mean, not only do they want it, they expect it. Think of all of the things that they now get to their door. You know, you have Instacart, you have Amazon Prime, you have all these meal box places, Stitch Fix, clothing. You know, it really, you're talking about a generation that has grown up with everything coming straight to them as they want it customized to them. And so if you don't have companies, if you don't have industries that are keeping up with that level of service and expectation, yes, we will be dinosaurs.
Yeah, and I don't want to be a dinosaur. I want to be on the wave of being a part of this great process, right, that we're seeing, you know, and keep moving the needle and pushing forward.
Yeah.
Right. But if you think of things that are in the past that we've seen in our lifetime come and go, whether it's AIMS, Blockbuster, right?
Right.
Netflix had to evolve, right? All those things. All of a sudden you're like, holy cow, that's right. Is there going to become a day that we don't have a McDonald's, right? If people are no longer like fast food, right? Is that going to happen? Certainly could, right?
Yeah. Yeah. At the very least, McDonald's will deliver to your door.
I want that milkshake.
Exactly.
So Lori, we're right up against the time here, and I appreciate you carving out time to really talk about this great topic that I really think is going to push forward in 2023, and everyone's really going to be focused on it. But what are your three takeaways from this episode in your mind, whether we talk about the employee and the customer for retention, that someone in the leadership of the dealership, whether it's RV, power sports, or auto, can really take away from this?
Sure. I love that question. Okay. Number one, sit down, make a record today to sit down with each one of your employees with a one-to-one to ask what you can be doing better to retain them and to make them happier in their job. That's number one. Number two, look across your process and technology and determine if you truly are meeting customers today where they are, or if you're just saying that and if that needs some tweaking. And that, I mean, I understand that takes a lot of work. That's a lot of resources, but just take a look at your systems. You don't have to make any decisions today. And then number three, I would say, just be very aware of your culture. Are you allowing people the opportunity to step up and say, I need this and I'm not getting it? Because if you have a culture that's like kind of top down and doesn't encourage those types of open communication, then you're not going to hear any of this.
Those are great takeaways, Lori. Thank you so much. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family and friends into your establishment, then you've got the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email, csmith@nationalautocare.com. Lori, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for dropping all these amazing nuggets on retention. And I'll end like I do with every episode. Will you please come back?
Oh my gosh, you know I will. Corey, I love recording these with you. So thank you so much for having me on today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Passion. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.